Hello and welcome to Food Stuff. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we're talking about edible gold.
That's right. It's going to be gold, baby. Gold. I had my brain almost broke, you guys, with all the puns in this episode. I won't say them all, but I have a list that I just moved them to.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. That's very exciting. I hope that this will have to do with the title suggestions that you sent. Perfect.
Some of them definitely made it in there. Yeah, we're doing an episode on edible gold, which I think I've had on ice cream or maybe on chocolate. I think I've had it.
Yeah, I think I've had it. Like, yeah, like on, I feel like on like a chocolate dessert or maybe on a piece of chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's not really sticking out in my mind. Oh, but I have had Goldschläger.
Which you informed me has gold flakes in it.
Absolutely has gold flakes in it, yeah.
I think that by the time I'm having Goldschläger, I am not noticing that. Drink responsibly, kids.
Yes.
Drink responsibly.
Drink responsibly.
Okay, so this brings us to the question, edible gold.
What is it?
It's pure gold! Or most of the time it is. Not right. Always. It's right there in the name. Edible gold is typically between 22 to 24 carats, and it's wrapped, flaked, or layered with food or on the rim of cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
Pure gold is the tourism saying of my hometown, Dahlonega, by the way, where there was gold in them thar hills. It was a gold rush.
Yeah.
Which is our big festival in October. It's coming
right
up if you're in the area. I mean, all of us, the locals, we leave, but you can come on in. I actually really liked Gold Rush, but I was strange.
Well, you like a festival.
I do, and there were rides. You could get a funnel cake, and you could get one of those tall drinks, you know, strawberry daiquiri.
Right.
It was virgin because, you know, I was young, but you put the straw in there, and it was lovely. Apparently, all I need is rides, funnel cakes, and a sweet drink, and I'm, yes!
You're gone. Yeah, yeah. I think that, yeah, that does hold true to this day, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe I should go to Gold Rush. Mama, I'm coming home.
Back to gold, though.
The edible kind.
The edible kind, yes. This is also all gold.
I know. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
If you're unfamiliar with the carat system, it's a slightly outdated way of denoting the purity of a metal. And when you're talking about precious metals, that's sometimes called the fineness. Completely pure gold is basically scientifically impossible because atoms are wily. But 24 karat gold is as pure as possible, like over 99% pure. And the karat system is fractional, okay? So 1 karat is 1/24 pure. Why 24? I have no idea. 12 carats is 12/24 pure, or half pure.
Uh-huh.
All right? And so on. Gold that's above 22 carats is generally considered too soft to be used in jewelry or other, like, relatively practical products. It'd be damaged too easily.
Mm-hmm.
Most gold jewelry, therefore, in the United States is around 14 carats. That's about 58% pure. It has harder metals, silver, copper, palladium, added in to increase the jewelry's strength or to add color, you know, like a blend of silver and copper for yellow gold, just copper for rose gold, and just silver or palladium for white gold. But super soft, high carat gold is perfect for eating.
Is it?
I mean, it's not the first thing that I would say, but sure.
That's such a strange... This whole thing is very odd to me. It tastes like nothing, really.
Like, yeah, literally.
It doesn't have much of a texture to it either. It brings nothing to the table but glitz and glam. Because all that glitters is gold. Is that Smash Mouth that taught us that? And the great words of Smash Mouth.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, yep. Yep, yep, yep.
Nutrition-wise... Yeah, and this goes back to the flavor part. Gold is what scientists call chemically inert. It does not interact with your body at all.
Huh.
You do not digest gold. It passes right through you. Edible gold may have a little bit of silver in it at that lower, like, 22-carat range, but silver is also inert. Yeah, it's considered harmless.
Oh, good.
But it's not necessarily useful to you.
Mm. not necessarily useful. That sounds that sounds like a descriptor someone might give me.
I think the only like law on the books about the edibility of gold in the United States anyway is that like the CDC has marked it like not a poison.
Well, that's a plus.
It is.
Yes.
There is a fringe theory out there that eating gold will make you superhuman, like super intelligent and super powerful, and that therefore the Illuminati is conspiring to keep prices high enough that we plebs can't eat gold and become powerful and smart.
Oh. Well, let's just say that a little old town called Dahlonega might be full of superhumans.
Oh, this explains so much.
Does it?
No.
My superhuman clumsiness. It is a power.
It is. All that being said, gold is used medicinally, just not orally. Mm-hmm. Gold is useful because one of its radioactive isotopes is really good at killing cancer cells. Well, okay, it's really good at killing all cells, but it's also good at linking up with a few different compounds that specifically target cancer cells. So research is still being done, but in the future, injections of radioactive gold may help treat cancer.
I feel like we're talking about a sci-fi. This is so interesting. This episode has just made me think about a lot of things. It's also made me think about apparently some people, and more often than not, women are allergic to gold.
Yeah.
Which I did not know. So edible gold.
No. Not bad times.
Yeah, not mm-hmm. be good. And speaking of bad times with gold, pop culture a la Game of Thrones and James Bond has told us covering yourself in gold, particularly hot gold, not good.
No, don't do it.
No, in case you needed it to be spelled out for you. Don't pour hot gold
over yourself.
Nah.
No.
Food stuff lesson of the episode. edible gold and silver are certified kosher.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good to know.
If you're wondering about the price, edible gold ran about $140 per gram towards the end of 2015.
Note, though, that sheets of it are so thinly pressed that the weight is, like, negligible.
Yeah.
As of 2018, baking supply shops have it for about, like, 10 cents per square inch.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, depending on the type of item you are dealing with, like, a lot of gold can go into some of these fancy foods.
It can. We have some examples for you because edible gold is making a comeback. It has been around longer than I thought, and I'm going to say probably a lot of you thought. But in this brave new world of Instagrammable food, mm-hmm. it is the gold standard, the gold medal, the gold star. Okay, I'm moving on. take the douche burger, for instance.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. This was a burger offered by the 666 Burger Food Truck, and it was topped with lobster, truffles, caviar, and all of that was wrapped in edible gold. Like, it was a paper wrapper, but gold.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. The wrapper is made up of about a quarter of a gram, and it would run you, how much would you think?
I can't really rightfully guess. I can see the number in our notes.
Well, I hope that some listener somewhere shouted out a guess. It was $666.
Very cute.
Mm-hmm. There's also the limited edition 24-karat gold Kit Kat bar from Australia's Kit Kat Studio. This was for 2016's Chinese New Year, and for about $62-ish in American currency, you got Phoenix Wulong tea leaves from China, lychee, rose petals, wrapped in edible gold. Only 88 were made. And Japan offered something similar in a 2014 Kit Kat bar with gold. Now closed Manila Social Club in Brooklyn used to offer a crystal, that's the champagne, it's champagne, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And gold flake donut for $100.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Krispy Kreme, that fine donut establishment, offered a $1,685 Lux donut in 2014, bedecked with edible gold, diamonds, and filled with Dom Perignon jelly.
Oh, my goodness.
But in this case, it was to raise money for charity. It's worth pointing out. There was a golden flaked hot dog at Super Bowl 50. It was $12, which seems about on par with stadium food, I gotta say.
Oh, yeah. That's not sure.
Yeah.
Back over in Japan, as of 2016, you could get soft serve ice cream cones wrapped in gold leaf for about $9.50.
Yeah, that's
again, helpful. Reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And as of 2017, a burrito-sized sushi roll filled with 12 kinds of premium seafood wrapped in the usual nori and the unusual gold leaf for about $96. And apparently to keep costs from going too out of control, it was served up in a, like, typical supermarket plastic tray.
So, okay. I like it. It's a collision of...
Yeah.
It's a collision of a lot of things.
That is.
Yeah.
That is true.
And speaking of Pizza Hut. Yes. Pizza Hut gave 50 random customers gold flaked pizza instead of the garlic knot pizza they ordered.
Honestly, I would be pissed. I would be like, this gold doesn't taste like anything. I want my garlic.
Yeah. I would be just shocked. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
What's happening here? And speaking of pizza, the world's most expensive pizza is in New York City, and it'll run you about $2,700.
Oh, my goodness.
It's topped with foie gras, caviar, and truffles, as well as the gold, which is relevant to this episode. I think you have to call in a day ahead of time to say that you wanted it. I'm sure they're like, what? Who? Also in New York City, Serendipity 3, I've been there, but not that one, used to offer a $1,000 sundae that came with gold-covered ice cream, complete with gold flowers and dusted, and you guessed it, gold. And a lot of other fancy, expensive stuff, too. I did not order this.
That's just good.
Full disclaimer.
I'm glad.
I'm very cheap, actually. Serendipity 3 has had a couple of gold desserts in its day, including one from 2007 that puts this sundae to shame. A sundae with edible gold that would run you a cool $25,000.
As discussed in our Sunday episode.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just sweets either. Yeah. They've also offered a $295 gold-dusted burger and a gold-dusted grilled cheese. They've been awarded several edible gold-related Guinness World Records. So they're winning in that front.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yeah, New York City is a city where the food is paved with gold.
Ah, yes. Ah.
As of this year, the restaurant Ainsworth was serving golden hot wings, 10 for $45 or 50 for $1,000, and that includes a bottle of schmancy champagne. Every 50-wing order apparently contains about 5 grams of gold dust. That's about $200 worth, or it's like the weight of a woman's wedding ring. Or about the weight of 2 pennies, if that is an easier thing for you to...
That you're eating?
You're eating that, yeah.
Putting that in your body.
You're putting that in your body.
Oh,
it also kind of paints your lips gold as you're eating it, which is super Instagrammable.
Yep, I bet. Or you could also just buy, like,
gold lipstick. Yeah.
I mean...
I've got some of that at home. I don't think it costs more than $14.
There are options, is what we're saying.
Yes.
I do love the combination of champagne and... hot wings.
And hot wings? I bet that is delicious.
I bet it is.
Oh.
I'm completely on board with that.
Now I want to get some hot wings and some sparkling wine.
Well, we can make that happen.
First time I've been hungry all episode.
Dubai is particularly fond of edible gold. You can get gold-dusted cappuccinos stirred into cocktails on desserts, gold sugar cubes. You can get it from a grinder like pepper,
oh my goodness,
from a spray, a $1,000 gold-infused cupcake. One hotel goes through 700 grams of edible gold per year. Another hotel, the Dubai Marriott, has a restaurant where you can get a side order of gold flakes. It's like a burger with a side of gold flakes. I mean, you can get it with anything, but that was the picture they had, and it just, I laughed for a good bit after seeing that. I'll have a side of gold flakes, please.
Yeah. I feel extravagant ordering like a side of bacon. Heck.
I do too. In 2016, the most expensive dessert in the world, Strawberries Arnault out of New Orleans, came with gold flakes and a $9.85 million price tag. It also came with a diamond engagement ring and expensive champagne and or liquor.
See, I don't think that that should count as the most expensive dessert if the part that makes it the most expensive is not edible. I guess it's not digestible. You could swallow the ring if you really wanted to.
What kind of person would that be? I want to write about them. That's in a short story somewhere. I found something that came with it. It was really funny because it was like $25,000 will get you this champagne, this dessert, this food, and a car. Like the car is just kind of out of the blue.
Oh,
you know what? I am feeling like I want to buy a car at this club. I'm glad they're offering it on the menu. Because of the price and the lavish over-the-toppedness of edible gold, there has been a lot of backlash to it. It does seem very like you're eating scarcity and money and spending so much on something that'll just be gone. It's the ultimate example of consumerism. Mm-hmm. It's empty. It doesn't taste like anything. I really want to write a poem about it.
It's beautiful in a terrible way.
There's something kind of fascinating about, I'm just going to eat this gold.
Yeah. Well, as it turns out, people have been doing this for just a ridiculously long time. So we're going to get into that. But first, we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
As we said in the intro, edible gold has been around for about as long as people have wanted to show off. So forever. The history of gold being something highly prized dates back to before humans were even recording things.
Yeah.
5,000 years ago, the ancient Egyptians would drink an elixir made out of liquid gold. They believed that gold was matter perfected. And not only would it cure you of all of your ailments, it would rejuvenate you and make you younger and healthier. The Egyptians weren't the only ones to believe that gold had medicinal properties throughout history, mainly for things like depression, arthritis, and heart disease.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. People got the idea to eat gold for fun, perhaps around medieval times.
This was right when alchemists were a little obsessed with the potential health benefits of gold and were trying to turn lead into gold. And gold was still used medicinally up through the Renaissance, at least, ground into food or drink as a preservative, the logic being that gold is this incorruptible substance and thus will save you from spiritual or bodily corruption.
Well, all right.
Yeah. Legend has it that Italian Duke Galeazzo Visconti had a whole calf wrapped in gold leaf for his daughter's wedding in 1386.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That dude wanted to
impress some people.
I only hope they were impressed. The Japanese may have been using edible gold by the 1500s or earlier as a dusting for sake, tea, and other food items. Gold dust tea was thought to have health benefits as well, and it still is to this day from what I understand.
Or at the very least, it's pretty.
It is pretty.
In medieval Europe, a banquet might have ended with slabs of gilded gingerbread studded with gilded cloves. Supposedly, the popularity of gilded gingerbread in particular at fairs prompted an iteration of the axiom, all that glistens or shineth is not gold. like out of concern for, like, watch what you eat. Like, if it's that cheap at a fair, it's probably not real gold, and you're probably not going to get those, like, health benefits you're looking for, or you might get a little bit poisoned.
So Smash Mouth was wrong. My life is coming crashing down before my eyes.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry it had to be today, Annie.
I don't even know. Oh, how could this be?
Smash Mouth, why have you betrayed me?
I believed in you for so long. Oh, well, there goes that karaoke song. Anyway, we must continue.
We must.
Europeans would pound sheets of gold until they were all nice and thin and wrap pastries with them.
There's a recipe in the 15th century, an ordinance of pottage for a sweet pie decorated with gilded walnuts. And they had very specific directions for it. You would first wet the walnuts with saffron water and then stick them on a needle or a pin for use of handling. And then the needle is held in one hand and the gold foil is laid on with that other hand with a thing made therefore, and blow thereon easily with thy mouth, and that shall make thy gold to abide. And so through may gilt them all over, and flourish thy bacon meat therewith.
I love so much about this. But I think my favorite thing is make thy gold to abide.
Make thy gold to abide.
That's a saying that you put above your door. No one's entirely sure what it means, but they think they know what it means. I'm too embarrassed to ask.
There was also around that time a recipe for like sort of the fanciest turducken. It was a pig stuffed with a rooster, which was itself stuffed with pine nuts and sugar. It was roasted whole and then colored on the outside using saffron, egg yolks, and gold and silver foil.
That is a very fancy turducken. Mm-hmm. Who knows the turducken went back so far?
Right? By the 16th century, authorities in Padua suggested that in order to preserve the supply of gold, no more than two courses of any given feast should be gilded.
Wow.
It was a problem. They were like, folks, really.
This is getting out of hand.
Really, calm down.
Gold was particularly popular in Italy as a topping for saffron risotto and with the English aristocracy as a topping for fruits, pomegranates, oranges, and grapes in particular.
Saffron was so expensive around that time, and it keeps coming up in all of these things. It was, you know, the gold color of the saffron, the gold color of gold. But according to Hieronymus Bock, ground saffron might be stretched with sandalwood or even gold dust to bring it up to weight.
Ooh.
That might have been hyperbole, but either way, I love that he said it.
Yeah, I do too.
A liquor called Goldwasser was invented by one Ambrose Vermolen, or Vermolen perhaps, in 1598. He was a Dutch fellow living in Danzig, then Germany, now Poland. And Goldwasser is still around. It's an earthy, herbal liquor flavored with stuff like cardamom, coriander, juniper, cinnamon, and lavender. And it is speckled with flecks of gold leaf.
Yeah.
It would go on to be a favorite of several royals, including King Louis XIV, Peter the Great, and Catherine the Great.
To the greats.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, several brands are still available today. The gold in it is generally 22 carats, in case you were wondering.
I was wondering. I specifically only buy drinks with 22 carats in them.
Oh, never 24.
That's
too rich for your blood.
Too rich for my blood, indeed. I am not a blue blood at all. I'm a gold blood.
Sometime in the 1700s, there's a story of a golden swan being served at a royal banquet in Italy. The swan was a rotisserie, roasted, and then covered in this sauce that was made from saffron-infused wine, egg yolks, and breadcrumbs. This made the skin kind of golden and crunchy. And then the neck and head were wrapped in gold leaf for serving and presented to the highest guests at the banquet.
That's a little over the top. I gotta say it. past royal banquet, a little much.
In a throwback to our aspics episode, Elizabeth Radfeld's 1782 book, The Experienced English Housekeeper, included a recipe for gilded fish and jelly.
Oh, let's put gold on this fish and then put it in jelly.
Yes, it will make it the fanciest.
It will be so fancy.
The fanciest salad that anyone has ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Jumping way ahead to
1985.
famed Italian chef Gualtiero Marchesi topped his saffron risotto with a square leaf of gold foil. A round dish, bright yellow rice, big old square of gold foil right smack on the top.
It feels like modern art.
It looked like it. It's beautiful. It may have been the impetus for Michelin to grant his restaurant a third star. It was the first Italian restaurant, or the first restaurant in Italy to receive 3 Michelin stars. And it was so iconic that he would later wear a tiny replica of the dish as a lapel pin.
Okay, I like that.
And this brings us to
Goldschlager.
All right, y'all, I legit cannot track down a history of Goldschlager.
That is a travesty.
Okay, it's originally a Swiss liquor, a cinnamon schnapps, to be specific, and the brand has been passed among several producers and manufacturing plants over the past couple decades, and none of them have preserved any kind of origin story, and apparently No one on the internet cares about it enough to really track it down. What I can tell you is that it contains about 0.1 grams of gold flake per bottle, 24-karat gold flake.
Oh.
And since gold flake of that purity is too soft to cut you, no, it does not create any tiny cuts in your throat and stomach to make you get drunk faster, which is like urban legend about Goldschlager, that you drink it because it has the gold flakes in it, which create tiny cuts that get you drunk faster.
This is a disturbing college kid thing, yes?
Yes, it is. It is.
I hope I get tiny cuts in my mouth.
So I get drunk faster? Yeah, good job. Good job, kids.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Probably I would have done something equally foolish, but...
Yeah. No, it's too soft to cut you. It's fine.
Okay.
And the word Goldschlager, in case you were wondering, means gold beater in German, referring to the workers who would pound gold out into that leaf.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, somebody, some internet sleuth... Track down some history.
Oh, goodness, yeah. If you have anything, let me know. To be fair, I didn't dig extremely hard, but...
You didn't go gold digging?
No.
Gold slogger digging?
I panned at the very most. Oh, no.
Too many puns to be made.
And my final note here about edible gold is that as of 2005, artist Tobias Wong, in collaboration with the streetwear brand Just Another Rich Kid, started selling these gelatin capsules that were filled, or that are filled, with 24-karat gold leaf. Three pills for $425. And they are quite pretty. They're like half of the capsule is solid, wrapped in gold leaf on the outside, and the other half is clear so you can see the gold leaf inside kind of jangling around. Uh-huh. It's quite pretty. And they are sold as a work of art, and they are intended to be swallowed by the consumer. A quote for you. Analogous to our culture's obsession with luxury and consumption, these 24-karat gold leaf capsules turn your innermost parts into chambers of wealth. Consume and digest. Yeah, I mean, you know, they'll make your poop gold-flecked.
Now that's an Instagram picture.
Oh.
that's really fascinating. Consume and digest. It's just, humans are interesting, and this is a really interesting aspect of them.
Yeah, we were talking during the ad break. I feel like this is the first episode that we've ever been actually really judgmental. I mean, aside from talking about, like, terrible human people, like Christopher
yes.
Columbus or something like that.
Yes.
But I'm sort of comfortable with it.
I mean, it's just, it's interesting. I keep saying that word because I can't pinpoint, it's hard to put into one word for me.
Yeah.
I have had, like I said, I've probably had it on ice cream. I've probably had it.
Yeah. I think I have too.
Yeah. I don't, it's nothing I would spend a lot of money on. If I got ice cream with it, then I guarantee you I didn't pay a lot for that ice cream. Like, I didn't
pay
for the gold.
Right, right. It was that like $9 ice cream cone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just what was available.
Right. I wasn't like, ooh, gold.
And I don't know. And I guess, I mean, there's nothing wrong with you know, your food being artistic. Like, the artistry of food is certainly a very wonderful and serious thing, you know, not to be mocked, but, you know, yeah, I don't know. It's that conspicuous consumption kind of thing that I'm like, don't you know that kids are starving in Africa? Like, that, I don't know.
Well, I think for me, since gold represents, like, that is the thing you aspire to. That is luxury.
Yeah.
That I think because it is that symbol, that it feels almost symbolic. People eating it, you know what
yeah.
I mean? I think that's what's throwing me or making me really want to think about this more and, like, go to slam poetry and talk about edible gold. It's really fascinating, honestly.
Yeah.
And I was shocked people have been doing it so long. I guess I shouldn't have been, but people eating gold.
Yeah, people are great.
Well, I mean, if... If there's anyone out there that has any art about this.
Yeah. Or any stories please write in and send us photos if you do have like slam style poetry about it, then that's not a style of poetry. I'm sorry. A slam is a noun, not an adjective.
Yes.
If you have poetry that might be performed at a slam and you want to make an audio recording of it and send it to us about edible gold, actually about any food item.
Yeah.
We would love to hear your poetry.
We would.
And if you would like us to, we can't promise we will. If you want to give us permission to air it, include that in your note.
Yes.
Oh, man. I just got really excited with the potential of this. I really hope that some of you guys are really wonderful, weird poets. Okay. This actually does bring us to our listener mail. But first, it brings us to one more quick break for a word from our sponsor. And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you. Lauren kind of shocked me with that.
And he was very startled. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's only fair because it brings us to
listener mail.
Slam poetry.
Oh, okay, sure.
I've actually never been, but.
Oh, man.
I've seen it.
All right.
You know.
We'll go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited about that. Okay. Chris wrote, here is an etymology tidbit for Lauren. As to why we Jersey Italians pronounce food so differently, rigetta versus ricotta in ricotta cheese. I don't know if this is the original article I read, but it covers a lot of the points I took away, and he linked to an Atlas Obscura article.
Oh, cool.
Basically, pre-unification, spoken Italian was heavily regionalized with many dialects. The poorer southern regions, which made up most of the early Italian immigrants, had a melodic, sing-songy style of speech that often added or removed vowel sounds from the ends of words to maintain the flow or cadence. When the nation was unified, the government declared the Tuscan dialect of Dante fame to be the official Italian. But this was slow to be adopted and definitely didn't affect the early immigrants to America, where we have preserved this dialect to this day. I've read it compared to as talking like a native Italian's great-grandparents would.
Oh, wow.
I love that. I've never really thought
beautiful.
About it.
Yeah. Chad wrote, I listened to your buffet episode and was reminded of an experience I had in Manila in January. I was quite surprised to see signs proclaiming that you would be charged an extra fee if you did not eat everything on your plate at the buffet. To me, that sounds like a good way to lose business, but I thought it interesting. See this photo I took of one of the signs in the restaurant. And the sign says, no leftovers! Leftover charge, 700p.
And this is for the charcoal barbecue buffet.
And the logo is this little red dinosaur, little red raptor face. Mm-hmm. It's really, I love this place.
I know. I'm in.
Yeah. Despite their charging you for having leftovers on your plate.
Well, all the more reason to pace yourself and have a plan.
Yeah. I cannot wait to go to a buffet restaurant with you. I'm so excited.
We have a lot of fun field trips to do. I love it.
Oh, goodness. We do. More every day. Thank you so much to both of y'all for writing in.
And before we close out this episode, we've been hinting at some changes.
Teasing a little bit of news. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And we have some of that news for you. Today. If you're listening to it the day it came out. If you're not, then...
It's chaos and we cannot help you there.
Yeah.
But yes, the name of the Foodstuff show is changing to Savor.
Mm-hmm. And you have to say it with a particular inflection.
Savor.
Nah, live your own life. And if you keep an eye out in your podcast feed... there will be a trailer for Savor.
Yes, absolutely. And also, in accordance with this name change, we are changing the names of our social media feeds and our email address.
We've been told that's good strategy.
Yes.
Otherwise, more chaos and confusion.
Yeah. That's what Savor, chaos and confusion.
So you can email us at hello@savorpod.com. But if you email the old address, it will forward to the new address. So
yeah,
all emails will arrive at they their will. Correct destination.
Yes, and Annie will read them almost immediately.
I will, but then I'll wait because I like to percolate on what the email said before I respond.
Oh, no, I think that's a good strategy.
I think so.
and throughout social media, we have the same name now. It's just at SaverPod on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, which is going to cut like minutes off of all of our lives for me not messing that up every single time we record.
It is going to be simpler. Simpler for all.
Yes. Or just Google Saver Podcast. We should come right up. There was a prior Saver Podcast, but you'll know that it's us from the fact that, you know, it's us.
Just makes sense.
Mm-hmm. We do hope to hear from you. Thank you, as always, to our super producer, Dylan Fagan. Thank you to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.